When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com, just like it sounds, Martha Norwalk, N-O-R-W-A-L-K. Click on the Listen Live link upper right. That'll click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. Go to Facebook and look, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World, and you'll find all the great stories and photographs and stuff about animals, and there's some good stuff there this week. And but before we get to all of that, I'll let you know that as always, keeping everything in order at the station would be our production engineer, Nathan Miller, is here. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Martha. Happy little bit of a cloudy and drizzly morning. I think fall is officially upon us.
It certainly seems to be. And now I have to say it felt unusually warm to me the last few days.
That can tend to happen overnight. Are you talking like in the mornings or during the day?
Both.
Okay, because I was going to say during the night, if you're getting up and it feels a little bit warmer, you know, those clouds help to keep that heat in overnight.
Yeah,
but yeah. During the day, we've had some sunny days to help with that. So just nothing to make it feel summery, though.
Well, and the weather angels were good to me, because, you know, last week I was talking about fall is here and all the leaves, and I was getting buried with leaves and maple seed pods and all that stuff. And I told you last Sunday, I think that, you know, I had to get caught up this week, and blow and mow, but I had to wait for dry enough weather. Well, fortunately, it dried up enough, and I was able to schedule myself so that by end of day Thursday, I was all caught up. And I got to tell you, Nathan, I blowed and I blowed and I blowed and I blowed some more. And then I mowed, and then I blowed and blowed some more. And then, you know, I cleaned out the fountain and got all that running again. I brought all the yard art in and that sort of stuff. And so it was all caught up.
With all that blowing, I'm going to have to call you the Big Bad Wolf.
Well, yeah.
I just hope you didn't blow any houses down.
Well, you know, no, and I had help, because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, everybody around here has to do the same thing, because we're in the forest, you know, and it's like you get a nice day around here, especially if it's the weather's changing, it's going to rain. That's like, okay, how many people can run their blowers at the same time?
Yeah.
And, you know, even though, you know, it's bigger acreage and we aren't very close together, you know, sound travels. And so it's like everybody's out blowing. So it's kind of a neighborhood thing. But the really nice thing is that, well, the downside was once I got it all done and then I looked up at the trees and was like, oh my gosh, this is just beginning. This is just the beginning. Because, you know, I was the ground, my half of my yard was so covered in leaves, you couldn't even tell there was grass there. I mean, that's how many leaves there were. And but now you look up at the trees, doesn't even look like they've hardly shed anything yet. So I mean, there's still a lot more leaves to come down, and the cottonwood's been falling for quite a while, but there's still a lot of cottonwood leaves up in the trees, and now the maples are starting to add to it. So the good news is that since Thursday, you know, I kind of expected it because the weather was supposed to turn. We were supposed to get rain by Thursday night and then through the weekend. And I've been kind of surprised is that it's been very, very still wind-wise here, just absolutely no wind. And then just really ever so light sprinkles, you know, not major rain. So about as few leaves have fallen off in the last few days that could possibly fall off. So if you look at my place now, driveway's still clear and the patios are still pretty clear. And there's a few leaves down on the grass, but it, you know, it's kind of, it's like, well, thank you. You gave me a little break for a while. It's hard to, you know, you get out and you blow everything and you mow and you get everything cleaned up. And then you go to bed, you get up the next morning, you look out and it's all covered again because everything, but that didn't happen this time. So I get to appreciate the fact that I'm caught up on the blowing for a little while longer. But I think, Nathan, we're in for just a stretch of few days here of just rain. And somebody was talking about some wind and stuff. So I'm assuming those leaves
some
are going to come down
again. Some wind is about as much of wind as we're going to get. It's going to... Excuse me for a second. I had a little hiccup there. The wind will be just kind of no more than maybe 8 miles per hour. So we're not getting into any double digit winds or gusting. So pretty calm out there for the most part. Of course, that can kind of depend on the area you're in. But as far as like the Seattle region goes, just pretty calm winds throughout the next few days. And chances of rain, they'll start to increase throughout Tuesday, but after we get through Tuesday, we'll start to see those chances of rain decrease and slowly get back to like partly sunny skies. So it's a little bit of like a hill where the top is on Tuesday as far as when the most weather happens and then it tips
off. Well, if there's
not
a lot of wind scheduled, then maybe I, you know, it will slow down a little bit on the leaves. But at any rate, I've had, let's see. Yeah, that was round two I did on Thursday. So I've done two rounds of, you know, blowing and, you know, winter prep. And I don't know how many more rounds there will be. But if you ask, look at the trees, there's going to be a number of them. Unless, you know, you never know. We could have a big storm that has some wind and a lot of them come down at once. But
I see lots of fall colors out here. So plenty of leaves still to fall, unfortunately. So...
Yeah,
I
have some,
have
you know, fall, some fall colors with the cottonwoods and the maples, but those aren't the trees that really, you know, get your bright reds and oranges and all the pretty colors. And so I'm seeing green because, you know, mostly I've got hawthorns hemlocks, not hawthorns, hemlocks and cedar trees all around me, and then the deciduous in between and around. So I don't have as much fall color as a lot of people do until I drive off of my property and out, you know, and then I can see beautiful fall colors, you know, heading up towards the pass and around the area. So it really is, it's a lovely time of year. You know, if you can get out and look at the leaves and all that good stuff.
Now, did you have that really stormy day on Monday this past week? It got pretty stormy where I was down in Auburn area playing pool. They had maybe some thunder going on or lightning and winds and heavy rains. And I even looked out the window and you look out and then you see the color of everything. And it's like, you know, there's got to be a rainbow out there. So I went to the window, and sure enough, just this really nice rainbow going across, which tends to happen in those stormy times.
I was expecting the storm, you know, on Monday, because that's what was predicted. But it was a rare occasion that I wasn't in the convergence zone. I think the convergence zone moved farther south where you are.
It was following me.
And so yes, it was... You know, we got wet a little bit, you know, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a huge storm that, in fact, I think I remember thinking, I thought it was supposed to be really rainy and really stormy today, you know, and it's wet enough, but it wasn't what was predicted, not in my area anyway. So I kind of dodged a bullet, I think.
A lot of my fellow pool players were saying that they didn't have cable or power or anything. And
oh, wow.
When we were playing pool and I was practicing, there was just a quick little power surge. But after that, the only lights that were on, the music was off for a while. And the only lights that were on were the ones above the pool tables. So people were sitting at the benches to the sides as like watching the matches, and they had to use the flashlights on their phones to keep score because we keep score on a piece of paper and they couldn't see it. So they had to use their phone lights instead of the normal overhead lights in the building.
I thought about that just, I don't know if it was earlier this morning or it was last night, but I just had that flash and I was thinking, oh, you know, we haven't had any power outages for a while, you know, it's that time of year, we get power outages all the time, you know, mm-hmm. when even though I just always have to give kudos to the Snohomish County PUD, they just do a fantastic job of policing the trees on the roads and doing work on taking trees down that'll be dangerous and that sort of thing. They've had to take a number off the road on my property since I've been here, and that really helps prevent a lot of stuff. But even so, stuff falls and we get power outages all the time. So I was thinking last night, it's like, okay, it's time to do those rounds and make sure, because I have a plan for if the power goes out and it's dark and I'm anywhere in the house, I have all my little lanterns, battery op lanterns, and then candles in the glass jars, because I can't have candles that cattails could get into and cause a problem. So I use the candles that are the glass jars, the 6-day candles, I think they call them. So I have those strategically placed in all rooms around the house, and then my little lanterns that battery operated. But so I was thinking, I got to put that on the list. I got to cruise the house and make sure that everything is set up so that I can always have a light in the room that I'm at if the power goes off, and then I can light candles and go on with my little power outage rituals. But get my backup chargers all charged and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm ready. But it really has been, all things considered, pretty calm weather wise here, considering we're almost to the end of October.
Yeah.
So
I'm just waiting for Thanksgiving. That's usually when it seems like we have to have that big storm come through, is when you're getting ready to cook your turkey and the power goes out.
Yeah. Yep. I remember, because Thanksgiving and Christmas are always big holidays for my family, and we always get together. I only remember once in all the years, but I think Thanksgiving was at my brother's that year, whenever it was, and sure enough, power out while the turkey is still in the oven. And I don't remember how that all shook out, but I remember there was once where it actually really did mess up the detail. But I think other than that, we've skated and been okay. But yeah. It is, you're right. Traditionally, Thanksgiving is often a stormy time mm-hmm. around here. So we'll see. But I'm still thinking, the Farmer's Almanac predictions, at least the Farmer's Almanac said that the best place to be during the winter this year is in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh.
But that it would be colder and drier. And I can't say that's been the case so far. cold, because it hasn't been colder yet. It's kind of, I think it's,
I don't think you can get drier.
I do think it's been
drier.
And now, it's the first fall that I consciously remember hearing public news announcements advising us or asking us to continue to conserve water. Because I think we're way below the amount of water we're supposed to have had by this time of year. But I hear the announcements on the radio and on the news, from time to time, saying that even though it's fall, we're supposed to be conserving water. And I remember hearing just an announcement yesterday. I must have been driving to or from my counseling session, and then giving resources to find out how to conserve water. And anyway, that I don't remember that being the case before. So even though we are getting rain, at least in my neighborhood, it hasn't been the hard rain I'm used to. And I've never seen yesterday, especially driving home from my set. I was in Edmonds, so I had, you know, quite a drive back and forth. But it was the lightest sprinkle I remember in a long time. I mean, it's just barely enough rain that you got to put your windshield wipers on pause, but you have to have them on and off. But really, I'm amazing how soft or how light the rain has been. Of course, it sounds like, you know, you got a lot down south, but it seems to me that it depends on what area you're in.
Yeah,
and
the convergence zone has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, different weather patterns that we're having. But anyway, so it looks like rain on and off through the week until I think it's supposed to get nice again towards the end of the week. And at least last night, I think they had sunshine on like Friday, Saturday, Sunday or something.
Yeah.
So we might have a nice weekend next week.
I mean, we could probably start to see sunshine start to peak out on probably Wednesday going into Thursday. And still chances of rain on Thursday, but really Saturday is, say, oh, that's interesting. It's mostly sunny, but the high will be near 49, it's predicting right now. So we're going to get a pretty cold snap coming through here in just a couple of days.
Yeah, I did. Oh, that's right. I had forgot. I probably consciously spaced that one. I did see that it looked like maybe 30s towards the end of the week. So now I got to think about that. I do have some fuchsias that need to be, you know, trimmed back and put into the garage before we actually freeze.
Yeah, those will, of course, be overnight, but just barely getting into the 30s. In the Seattle area we're seeing right now, the lowest temperature is 37, and that's only one day.
Yeah, of course, it would be colder out here, and that's what I have to look for. I would...
let's see what...
went out the other day. I have these beautiful in-pot fuchsias. have a pretty dropping orange flowers, and I really like them, but they're very sensitive to the cold, so they have to come in before it freezes, because even a light freeze, they're gone.
Yeah, you should definitely do that.
I don't like to trim them back because they're always so pretty. I don't like to trim them back. And but I don't have to worry about that with the biggest one this year, because I went out one morning this week and I had been being pinged, you know, that voice in your mind says, Martha, you better deer spray the fuchsia, because the deer really like these particular fuchsias. And I didn't listen, so I didn't, because it had rained, so you have to spray them the deer repellent after it's rained. And I didn't do that, and I went the other morning, I looked out and it was like, oh my gosh. And if it had been any other time of year, I'd have been really mad at the deer, because it just really trashed. It just ate practically the whole thing. But then I had to think, well, you know, if I'm going to ignore my guidance and not do the deer repellent, if I had to do that, it's the best time of the year, because they did the pruning for me, so I don't have to cut it back. It's already cut back for the winter. And just letting you know that they do make some pretty nice natural deer repellents now. This is a new one I tried this year, because the one I have been using smells terrible when you put it on. But this one is peppermint, and it works if you use it. So it's been really good. All right, I'm looking at the clock, and we've chatted our way time to take care of our advertisers. So I think we might as well do that, and then we'll officially start the show.
Just real quick before we wrap this up, I did put the weather over to your area, and yeah, you're right. You will be flirting with the freezing degree temperatures by around the end of the week.
When is that? By the end of the week?
About Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You'll be flirting with the 32 degrees.
Then I'm going to, oh, okay. Thank you for checking on that. And, oh gosh, and I should probably let everybody know before we take our advertisers. It is the fourth Sunday of a fifth Sunday month, a five Sunday month. So that means it's an extra Sunday this month. So we get to do something extra special. And Nathan and I are going to continue to chat through this hour. And Nathan's got some, we've got to talk about babies and dogs. And I've got some stuff to chat with you about. But once we get the 10 o'clock hour started, we are going to welcome for the first time some, I consider some really remarkable people, Beth and Merritt Clifton, who are the people behind animals24-7.org, which is like an independent online newspaper and information source about animals. And I am just so impressed with these folks. And I feel like I'm getting to know them because, you know, I've been reading all on their bios and all of that. And I think it might be a first. I don't think, but I mean, because they've done some interesting things and are very credentialed in journalism and reporting and all of that sort of thing. But you know, Nathan, Beth, I was blown away when I saw that. It's like she's lived a few lifetimes in this lifetime, it sounds like, but you know, she was a mounted police person.
Mounted. Ah.
So, you know, police person on horseback. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so I can't wait to hear about that. Anyway, we're going to get to know Beth and Merritt and all about this Animals 24/7, which is just for me has the reporting they do is remarkable and it's incredibly detailed. And I am amazed at what they find out and what they're able to report on. And we're going to learn about them. We're going to learn about everything. We'll catch up and find out about what's going on in Maui and the cleanup over there and more details about that. But of course, the big thing right now is this war, you know, Israel-Gaza sort of thing. And I don't know about you, Nathan, but on our regular news sources, have you heard any reports about the animals? I'm not hearing any reports anywhere about animals. It's like, do they even have animals over there? And the only thing that occurred to me is that, well, maybe because there's such humanitarian disaster going on that maybe the news sources think that it wouldn't be appropriate to report on animals because they got to talk about people and all of that, or it just doesn't occur to them. I don't know, but I've not heard anything. Well, I'll tell you what. I have learned more actually about the details and what's going on in that area and the war from Beth and Merritt and what they're reporting on with the animals than I hear on the regular news sources about what's going on. They are just amazing in the details that they extract. So it's going to be fun to get to know them and to get, may not be so pleasant, but you know, we need to hear about what's going on and how we can help and all that good stuff. So that's going to take up the rest of the show. We'll bring them on as soon as we start the 10 o'clock hour. So at this point, let's take care of our advertisers. And remember, it is the most important part of the show because without them, there is no show. So listen, support them and stay right where you are. Animal World continues straight ahead. We'll officially start the show right after these messages. Right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Here's a thought to consider from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's ANANDA Washington.org.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Real people, real life, real radio. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're just getting rolling with this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. You can check them out at anandawashington.org. And great classes, yoga, meditation, all that good stuff at the Blue Lotus Temple on the Bothell Everett Highway in Bothell, and of course the yoga hall is right next to that, and got all kinds of good stuff coming up, so check them out, anandawashington.org. Alrighty, and let's see, it is time to officially start the show. And if you haven't been here with me before to do this, I always do this by honoring the saint that's been guiding my work with the animals for so long. That, of course, would be Saint Francis. And because it's Sunday and we can start with a couple little Saint Francis prayers for ourselves and our animal friends, and then a pile of affirmations that we do to spiritualize ourselves up for the day and the week. And I start with the prayer to St. Francis for our animal friends. Oh, and I want to let you know that participating in this part of the show is completely optional. You can do the prayers and the affirmations with me out loud or silently or however you want to do them or not at all. I know a lot of you use them daily as I do, but it's completely up to you. It's not like dancing. When we get on the love train at 10 and 11, dancing's required, but here, this is optional. All righty. So get started here with a prayer to St. Francis for our animal friends. Here we go. Good St. Francis, you loved all of God's creatures. To you, they were your brothers and sisters. Help us to follow your example of treating every living thing with kindness. St. Francis, patron saint of animals, watch over our animal friends and keep our companions safe and healthy. And now for us human animals, it's the St. Francis of Assisi peace prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Om, peace, amen. Shanti, shanti. All righty. Now we got a pile of affirmations that all been selected and contributed by some member of our Animal World family or my spiritual family. And I use them because they've proven to be extremely powerful in my life, life-changing, as a matter of fact, and to many of you. And I know many of you do these daily as I do. Like I said, you can opt out, but I say each affirmation three times. So I'll get started with that. And this first one was a major life changer for me. And I'm sure it will be for you too. Here we go three times. Everything that happens in my life is a blessing from the divine meant for my spiritual evolution. Everything that happens in my life is a blessing from the divine meant for my spiritual evolution. Everything that happens in my life is a blessing from the divine, meant for my spiritual evolution. All right, the second affirmation actually comes from Linda Rasmussen, our one of our best practitioners. And, you know, if you've listened on the air when Linda's on, when she works with you, she often gives you an affirmation. Keep the energy going. That's where this affirmation came from. And it proved to be so powerful for so many listeners. And Stacy, I mean, everybody was telling me it's so powerful. You got to do it. I started doing it. It shifted things for me. It is a major part of my morning prayer and affirmation ritual, and I hope you use it too. Here we go. And we do this one for ourselves as kind of a animal world family. We are grateful and thankful for our abundant lives. We are grateful and thankful for our abundant lives. We are grateful and thankful for our abundant lives. All righty then. This next one comes from the Ananda Institute, the Italian division, and it's the one I use to keep myself in the proper mental state to go out in the world and spread health and well-being and not go out in fear and worry, that sort of thing. This is one of the ones I do for me and my animals. Here we go. God's power, vitality, good health, and strength flows through me, flows through me, flows through me. God's power, vitality, good health, and strength flows through me, flows through me, flows through me. God's power, vitality, good health, and strength flows through me, flows through me, flows through me. Ah, now this next one comes from Natasha Venter, our communicator and personal awareness coach. And this is the one, I also do this for my animals as well, but that helps me and my animal family kind of accept and get along with the crazy energies we're dealing with these days. And boy, been a lot to deal with, and even astrologically with the eclipse and full moon and all that stuff. Anyway, this one helps with that. I am my body and I gently, easily, and harmoniously align with and accept the energies of now. My body and I gently, easily, and harmoniously align with and accept the energies of now. My body and I gently, easily, and harmoniously align with and accept the energies of now. All righty, and the last affirmation to conclude this group is the Ananda Warriors of Light affirmation. And this is the one we send God's light all over the planet. And boy, do we need to do that now. And of course, you know, where we got to send it all right now is to the Middle East, so, and Europe, Ukraine. Anyway, love and light, see it all going there. Here we go. God's light is within me and around me. With the sword of faith in my hand, with the love of God in my heart, I am a warrior of light. I join my brothers and sisters everywhere to overcome fear with faith, hatred with love, and disease with health. We are all warriors of light. Let us fill the world with God's light. God's light is within me and around me, with a sword of faith in my hand, with the love of God in my heart. I am a warrior of light. I join my brothers and sisters everywhere to overcome fear with faith, hatred with love, and disease with health. We are all warriors of light. Let us fill the world with God's light. God's light is within me and around me, with the sword of faith in my hand, with the love of God in my heart. I am a warrior of light. I join my brothers and sisters everywhere to overcome fear with faith, hatred with love, and disease with health. We are all warriors of light. Help us fill the world with God's light. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. All right, then, we are all spiritualized up for the day, for the week, and Callie, I always say thought directs energy, so that's why we want to get our minds thinking positive and sending the good energy around the world, because we're going to be talking about that stuff a lot today, and, we want to get the good energy go in that direction. And hope, pray for the highest good and peace. But it's a tough one. Anyway, Nathan.
Yes, ma'am.
Speaking again of this time of year, I know you've got some news that we need to talk about, but I just want to bring up one of the things I realized, and I've been noticing it and working on it on my property, but when I blowed and then mowed and did all that today, I am finding an unusual amount of mushrooms everywhere.
I was just leaving work the other day and going up that little driveway. I saw somebody, like, looked like they were taking a picture of something. It turned out there was, like, this big mushroom growing out of the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I've always had some mushrooms, usually in fall and spring. And I'm bringing it up to you all because often every year, either in the fall or the spring, we have the stories of, you know, somebody's dogs out, you know, going out in their yard and eating mushrooms and they die. So, you know, most of the mushrooms that grow around here are very poisonous. So you want to be real careful. Now, I'm fortunate because, you know, my Robbie has never been attracted to or interested in mushroom. But remember, dogs are monkey see, monkey do models. And so I go out in my yard and I, you know, pick them or smush them or mow them out. I get rid of them. But I don't allow Robbie to do that with me.
Mm.
Okay. Because they don't know that we're getting rid of them because they're bad. They just see you collecting them and dogs can think, oh, that they must be important. So I should collect them too. And of course, the only way they can do that kind of is, you know, to eat them.
Or put them in their mouth.
Right. So you got to be careful. You don't want to let your dogs watch you do something that they could copy and get in trouble. So you don't want to let them watch you, but it is important to, you know, get rid of those mushrooms. And of course, the smaller the dogs, the more vulnerable they are because it takes less, you know, of them to get really, really sick. So, and I've got a number of different kinds of mushrooms that I've never seen before, and they're like huge. And they're the same color of the leaves, so I didn't realize they were there until, you know, you blow and that they don't go. But I've got the great big toadstool type ones, and some of them with, you know, 4 to 6 or 8 inch diameter, you know, tops on them. I mean, they're just huge. So I don't know what it is, but we're apparently having a mushroom year. Now, the other thing I'm going to tell you, just remind you that now that the temperature is going down, is really going to drop this week, just, you know, any outside parasites will look for a ride to come in. So that's fleas and ticks. You want to make sure that you are paying extra attention and flea combing or your animal friends to make sure that somebody doesn't hitch a ride in. And I know I've had that happen this fall and had to be on top of it. But I haven't mentioned to you, you know, I do flea comb and I try to deal with it all naturally. And there's an herbal flea spray that I just love. And but I haven't mentioned it to you for a while. It's called Wonderside. And it's readily available now. But if you want something to poof your animals with that doesn't smell, you know, like chemicals. I mean, the one I'm holding is cedarwood scent. And then I think there's a lavender and a lemongrass. And scents that we generally like rather than don't like. And they're herbal, so you're not doing the chemicals. But I'll tell you that it's a wonderful flea spray and it really, really works.
And it's spelled Wonder just like it normally would be. And then side is CIDE. So
correct, all one word.
Yeah, not Wonder SIDE. Wonder CIDE.
Correct. You're right. Yes. And you should be able to find it online, but you know, in pet stores, I get mine up at Bridges. You know, so you know, it's readily available. But it really is a very, very good product. You know, for a lot of time, long time, there wasn't really anything decent in the herbal department to take care of this, but this is a really great product and really, really works. The other thing that you want to be sure that you have is, you know, every once in a while I tell you about it, slippery elm. It's a tree root and bark extract and comes in a powdered form in a gelatin capsule. It's a human supplement. And I recommend that you keep it on your shelf for your dog friends. And in case they get into something, eat something they shouldn't, munch on something they shouldn't, and get a soft stool or a diarrhea, something like that. It's a phenomenal tummy and intestinal tract coater and really, really makes a huge difference. And I'm telling you about it this week because I actually needed it this last week. And Robbie, he cruises the yard and polices it very well. And he it's normal for dogs to go after other animal excrement. Okay. Cat poop, horse poop, cow poop, rabbit poop, deer poop. And to them, it's cocktails. You know, to us, it's gross, but to them, it's cocktails. And, so dogs eating other dogs' poop or their own, that's indicative of a problem. But eating other animals' poop doesn't mean there's a problem and they do it. Well, I don't know if Robbie just got too much rabbit poop or maybe he found some deer poop or something. Anyway, what happened is in the middle of the night, Robbie woke me up, said he had to go out. And so I let him out. And that usually means, you know, he has to go and poop. So I didn't think too much about it. But the next night, and I think I was busy the next day, and so I didn't think about it. And the next night, he woke me up again in the middle of the night. Now, so I went out and checked the yard. Sure enough, he had, really soft, mushy stool. Now, he felt fine and his appetite was fine. So he probably just, munched something he shouldn't. So I used the Slippery Elm capsules. And what I did was I just opened up two of the capsules in the powder and sprinkled it in his breakfast food. So I gave him two capsules for breakfast. I gave him one capsule in the middle of the day. And then I put two capsules of Slippery Elm in his dinner that night. And so we'd had two nights of he woke up in the middle of the night, but that third night, I did the Slippery Elm during the day. He did not wake me up in the middle of the night to go out, which is good. Checking the yard the next day, his poops were heading back towards normal, but not completely. So I did the same Slippery Elm, two capsules in breakfast, two capsules in dinner. And that was it. So I did the Slippery Elm 2 days in a row. No more midnight or middle of the night wake ups, and poops are normal. And he's been doing fine ever since. So it works really, really good. And if they get really sick with vomiting and serious diarrhea, then you have to make it into a liquid. I call it yummy tummy syrup. And you give them the liquid Slippery Elm by syringe. And that works marvelous, too. But it can literally save you a trip to the vet or to the ER, if it's something that happens at an unusual time. So it's a good thing to have on the shelf. All righty, then. Let's take care of our advertisers for the last time again in the show. When we come back, we got to talk about what's on Nathan's list, dogs and toddlers, and throw in a little current events. Not much going on. I don't think I have too much new stuff going on. And anyway, Animal World continues straight ahead. Stay right where you are, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com. Now.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Self-help, healing, spirituality, and more on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are, heading towards the end of the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from our wonderful Dr. Nils Rasmussen at healingministryforanimals.com. He sent out another email this morning. I haven't had a chance to look at it, so I'm not sure what he sent out this morning, but you want to get on his mailing list, and he is available to work with you remotely, and which he does usually either on the phone or by Zoom. He works on me and all my animals once a month, and the remote sessions are phenomenal. Check him out at healingministryforanimals.com. And if you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on, we'd love to have you join our Animal World family at advertisers. Just shoot me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And remember, our premier sound healer, Jude Ponton, is available at the Whispering Dragon Center in Shoreline. It's in her home now, a phenomenal energy with the gongs and the acutonic forks and the chiropractic, and she can work with you in person or remotely. Check her out. Whispering-dragon.com is the website, Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook, or just give her a call, 206-706-2836. 206-706-2836. All righty. So, Nathan, tell us what's going on.
Yeah, just got the news that for the first time since her birth, Genevieve is going to be coming to the Seattle area. My brother and his wife are going to be visiting in just a couple of weeks, spending a few days. So I'm looking forward to seeing them. But there is a little bit of a caveat that we have a rambunctious dog that, you know, very active, and that's going to be in the house as well. So got to think about how we're going to manage a 1.5-year-old with a border collie inside the house, and giving them their space, or making sure that no issues come up, and being best prepared as possible to have them possibly interact with each other. So I wanted to hear your take and get your input on how to go about this.
Yeah. So Genevieve, of course, you know, your brother's daughter, and you said she's 1.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Does your brother and your wife, do they have any animals or dogs? And
they do not. She loves, you know, the idea of animals, and I know she's probably, I think, gone to a zoo maybe a couple times in the past, but as far as like really interacting with dogs on a personal level, I think is not really been a thing.
All right, now what about, now your Abby border collie, how old is Abby now?
She is about 4.
Okay, does Abby have any experience with kids?
Not that young. I mean, she's had experience with like 8 to 10-year-olds, but okay,
how'd
not
she do with
infants.
Them?
She did fine as long as, you know, they did the proper approach and, you know, the child understood that, you know, this is a dog. You got to let it warm up to you and you got to not be, you know, fast about your greeting. You got to let almost the dog greet you, not you greet the dog.
Right. Well, then, you know, who knows how it's going to go. But a 1.5-year-old child usually can't be communicated with and reasoned with. And, you know, like, you know, the older ones that you were able to tell them how to be, you know, calm around all that. You can't do that with a, you know, a very young toddler.
Right.
So it's kind of prevent and avoid. So, you know, bottom line, you know, dog and kid should never be unsupervised.
You want to make sure they're never, you know, with each other on their own.
Exactly. So, you know, child needs to be monitored, but Abby also needs to be controlled. Mm-hmm. Chances are it would be good to have Abby on a leash dragging the leash around if you need to, sort of thing.
We were also thinking about getting like a baby gate for Abby that she couldn't cross.
That would be prevent and avoid sort of thing.
Yeah.
Now, the big thing is that the people that cause the most trouble in a situation like this are really concerned relatives and parents that we want everybody to get along. So when we get the dog and the child together for the first time, everybody's nervous and worried about what's going to happen. And we might be watching the situation unfold thinking worst case scenario. Oh, what happens if, you know, Abby's not comfortable, she growls or she snaps or that sort of thing. Just, you know, remember that thought directs energy. Okay. So if you're thinking negative stuff, you're going to have to start creating that. But B, remember dogs telepathically, they get the pictures in your mind and feel what you're feeling. And the ones that do the most of that are the herding breeds, the border collies.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to be standing there thinking that Abby might be afraid or might, but, you know, so you want to hold the picture of everybody gets along and all of that together. And then you don't just stand there and, well, I wonder how she's going to react to the child. You would be coaching. So, and you want to make positive associations. So you might just start with, you know, Abby's in the room and they walk in with Genevieve. She's, oh boy, Genevieve's here. She's a friend. Give Abby some cheese. Oh boy, it's a friend. You get cheese. They walk out with the baby. Oh, no more cheese. Whenever they come in, oh, it's the baby. You get cheese. And you make a fun. So you start making positive associations whenever Genevieve's around.
Mm-hmm.
And then coaching and say, if you decide, well, Abby seems comfortable enough and Genevieve could approach, you want to coach as that's happening. Oh boy, here comes your friend. Here comes your cousin. It's, you know, Genevieve's, it's friends, you know, I would keep it pretty low key and not allow, you know, direct, uncontrolled connection between the two of them until you have a better feel because Abby might say, oh wow, I always wanted a niece, oh that's so, she's so cute and all of that, and you know, she could just be happy, and you know, and you would just know that she's fine, and as long as you supervise and coach, there's not going to be any issue. But Abby could come in and go, oh yikes, oh it's a kid and moving fast, it's making a, you know, so you're gonna have to see how she responds. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so it's going to depend on how it goes, but it'll go much better if you adults can keep the energy up and happy and imagining the good things, and then just don't do stupid human stuff like leaving the two of them in a room alone together.
Mm-hmm. One thing we want to do too is make sure that Genevieve doesn't get close to the no touch zones on Abby, because there are specific parts of her body, like her tail, which kids love to reach out and grab, that Abby doesn't like having touched. So,
okay. Well, now hindsight being 20/20, if we'd have known that, okay, Genevieve's coming and, you know, kids like to grab and poke sort of thing. We do this kind of for baby prep. If you've got to, you know, do babies joining the family or something. dogs don't like that kind of stuff for lots of reasons, but often it's because, you know, it doesn't happen except when you have a, you know, crazy little kid around. So the behavior modification trick ahead of time would be, you know, you teach your jolly routine, and you know about jolly routine, Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would condition Abby for that kind of stuff, you know, when the kid's not around and can't see what you're doing, if the child lived with you. But you would start with, you know, if let's say your jolly routine triggers, oh boy, cheese, you'd have your little cheese pieces, and then you just touch your tail. Oh boy, cheese, touch your tail. Oh boy, cheese, touch your tail. Oh boy, cheese. When you can touch her tail without the jolly routine and she's good, then you'd touch the tail, maybe take a hold of the tail, jolly routine. Hold the tail, jolly routine. Hold the tail until you can hold the tail without the jolly routine. She's good with that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd hold the tail and jerk it a little, jolly routine. Jerk a little, jolly routine. But you know, and you could be tweaking her ear or pulling her hair, but so you start really lightly, combined with jolly routines, get more stronger in the pokes and the pulls until you can do all that stuff. And Abby's always going, oh god, this is fun, you do it all the time. Then if a child does that, it's not like the end of the world. Oh my gosh, she touched my tail. It's the end of the world. It's like, oh, mom and dad do that all the time. It's not a big deal.
Okay.
So you see, you could be conditioning Abby to accept all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we'll have enough time because...
Right, you may not. But see, this is, I said, hindsight being 20/20.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on how this goes... you can report back to Aunt Martha, and then maybe we can figure out what you do with Abby in the meantime to prepare for the next time they come out so it goes better. But you know, of course, you can always call me in when that's going down and all that sort of stuff. All right. So that's unfortunately all we have time for. But I wanted to try to do a little bit of current events here.
Shall we cue the music for that, or just
go
right into it?
No, because I'm having trouble opening it up here.
Let's go ahead and have it go play while you're getting that open.
I don't know. Something's going on with my computer. I messed something up and I'm not sure what I did. But anyway, I know that there's not a lot of new. There's nothing new going on other than Feral Cat Spay and Neuter Project has put out a plea. They need people to donate cat carriers. Because they use them a lot with people that bring in cats to be spayed or neutered, and they don't have the right carriers to, oh my, isn't that's really strange.
Yeah. I'm just trying to pull it up on your website here. If that would
help. Oh, you're doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, for crying out, I just thought, I was just going to say, Nathan, my computer just went nuts. It's doing strange stuff. Oh, okay. So you did that.
Yes.
That's current events. Okay. I don't seem to be able to scroll it. But anyway, the Feral Cat Spay and Neuter Clinic needs cat carriers for donations. And so if you have, cat carriers, they're only so large. They can't use really large ones. And I think 14 by 14 by 24 was the largest they can accept, but you can contact Feral Cat Spay and Neuter Project and donate and it's feralcatproject.org. Feralcatproject.org is the website, and I'm sure you'll find information there. So I think that will do it, because there's nothing else new on current events. Oh, there's my computer's back. How good is that? Okay, so that brings us to the top of the hour, which means... time to kind of switch gears here, and we're going to roll out the love train and get our exercise going for the day. Remember, this is how we get our energy flowing and a little bit of exercise in for the day and the week. And like I said earlier, dancing is required, but you can dance in your head, you can dance in your bed, you can dance in your chair, you can dance anywhere. Or get up on your feet and join the love train with us. We'll come by and cruise, pick you up. And the only job is send your love and light all over the planet as we're doing the love train. And you know the critical areas to send to. And let's just envision the planet lightening up and everybody awakening. And how about we just send peace on Earth everywhere? Okay. I think that just covers the bases. All right. So I energize up the love train music with our yogi energization prayer to give us a little more energy for the day and the week. Here we go with that. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls and all souls with thy ever new joy. Oh, eternal youth, the body and mind, abide in us forever and forever via the love train, and it's coming right up. And stay right where you are, because animals 24/7 for the rest of the show. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150.